Good morning. Look at that. Bang on time. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to St. Andrew's on this glorious morning. Welcome if you're here for the first time. Welcome if you've been here every Sunday for the last 50 years. You're just as welcome, and particularly welcome if you're watching online. Hello. We'll see you later. If you don't know me, I'm Tristan, and I'll be leading us through this service this morning. Dave's going to be coming and talking to us later on the subject of generosity. So we're starting a kind of a new sermon series. This will be the first one, and then we'll have a couple of weeks break, I think, before we kind of pick it up. But it's a sermon series on the values of this church and the values that we hold and the things that we want to make part of our culture, really. And the first of those is generosity of heart, and Dave will be speaking about generosity later. And I guess we can only really be generous because God has first been generous to us. And so we're going to read a psalm which has got some stuff about generosity in it. As ever with these slides, you read the white words. You've only got a couple of lines, so I really want you to give it some gusto. Are you ready to do that this morning?
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave. So, you're up first. So, are you ready? Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Praise the Lord. So we're going to sing in a moment. And if you are young, or if you're not and you like plastic drums, come and grab an instrument and play along with some percussion. So if you're able to, please stand and let's sing to God.
So, praise kids, everybody. I'm going to be commissioning our new youth ministry leader in a moment. But before I do, I just want to just share the notices, because there's some really important things and exciting things coming up. And the Alive course starts this week. So tomorrow night at the Littleton Well at 7:30, we've got one course. And then on Friday morning at 11:30 at St. Mary's in Pickersley, we've got a daytime course. And there is still time to come along and join us, or to invite a friend, to invite them to come along. We've got a good number of people at both courses, which is really encouraging. We went through the first material for tomorrow night early on last week, and I think it's fantastic material. It's a fantastic video, which whether you're exploring faith or whether you've been a Christian 20 years, you will get something from it and learn something from it. So anyone who wants to come and join us, please do. But it's particularly for those who are young in their faith or who are exploring faith. There's details on the website. You can sign up via that link. There's a sign-up sheet outside. Talk to me afterwards. We would love to just get a few more coming along. And there's going to be cake tomorrow night, and there's going to be a free lunch on Friday. Extra bonus. The waiting room is happening this week, and this week it's at St. Andrew's. All Saints is not quite finished yet, nearly there, but it's at St. Andrew's. And, you know, we had such an amazing time during Lent on Monday nights. I know many people appreciated particularly the time we had in silence. So if you enjoyed those times, why don't you come and sample the waiting room this Wednesday, just an hour from 7 till 8, or come for 10 minutes, come for half an hour, come for the whole thing. And let's continue the momentum of just being in God's presence and encountering God that we had through Lent. Ladies' breakfast, there's a ladies' breakfast on Saturday. Any ladies, do go along. And particularly if you're new, it's a great opportunity to get to know some other people. No need to sign up, just turn up to the Arturo Lounge at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. And then next Sunday evening, really exciting, we've got this lady called Helen Azer coming. Helen is a national speaker, an international speaker. She spoke at the New Wine Ladies Conference in London back a few months ago. I've had some amazing prayer ministry with her about a year ago. And, you know, she's going to come next Sunday night to speak on resurrection power. It's one of those evenings where we're particularly inviting people from other churches to come along and join us. And I really encourage you to come along. It will be a powerful evening. You know, who knows what God's going to do. But she is worth coming and listening to, and coming and just being in God's presence next Sunday evening and praying that God would meet us in a really powerful way. Oh, we're not quite finished. Messy Church 2 this week, which also is happening at St. Andrew's. So again, we had a great Messy Church a month ago. And do come along, invite friends to come along, invite other families. 3:30, and we'll finish about 5 o'clock. And of course, we have got the advert out for the Vicar in the Chase team post. Please, please be praying for that. It's gone live in the last few days. I'm going to get it out on social media later on today. And please just spread that as far and wide as you can, and be praying that the right person would apply for the job. That's the notices. So we're going to think about youth ministry today. And before I get Nathan up, I just want to acknowledge all that has happened over the last, nearly 3 years since Eddie left, isn't it? You know, just God has been really faithful. Our youth ministry has grown in numbers over that time. And people have just served so faithfully over these last few years in particular. And I wanted to just start, before we talk about Nathan, by acknowledging the great ministry that's been done by the Pathfinder leaders, led by Simon McCauley in particular. A whole great band, many of our young people who've stepped up into leadership there. And then Chaos in particular, which, let's see if I can just name people. So Tristan has been very much involved. Nigel Webster has been very much involved. Polly has been involved. Alice has been involved. Liz Saunders has been particularly leading it over a while. Simon, Emily, you are here. I didn't. Great. No, that's fantastic that you are here. I'm very pleased that you are here. I hadn't seen you. I hadn't thought you were here. And who have I missed out? Anyone else I've missed out? We are so grateful for all that you guys have been doing. And Simon and Ellie, do particularly come forward, because I wanted to particularly acknowledge what you guys have done, because you guys were leading it from when Eddie was here. And you have been serving in so many ways. These guys are in the middle of having a bit of sabbatical time as they just take some time out to reflect on where God's leading them to next. But we wanted to particularly say a big thank you to you guys for all your faithful service. You've been serving longer than anyone in this. And we want to just give you a little gift to say thank you for that, and particularly to show our appreciation. And we want to particularly bless Simon and Ellie in this sabbatical time, that God would just show them what this next season is all about for them and where he's leading them. Nathan, up you come. I'll bring Ruth too. Great. It's really exciting to be commissioning Nathan this morning. He's survived a week with us. As he keeps telling me, it's about 4.5 days worth, or 3.5 days, or whatever it is, isn't it? Nathan, just share a little bit about what you want to share, and then we're going to pray for you and commission you and get a few others up to be involved in that as well.
Cool. Thanks, Dave. So, yeah, it's been a good start. It's been a good week getting to know the team a bit more. I felt really welcomed. I want to say a big thank you, particularly to people that pray on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays across the different church sites. That's been such a great start for me. And that's what we continue doing. But and the faithfulness of those people and the chance to pray together and just partner with God in what we're doing and what we hope to do with him, particularly in the youth form, obviously, my perspective. It's been amazing. I really appreciate that privilege. Sorry, Ruth? but, yeah, it's been great. There's one of those things where it's so exciting to see what God's already been doing through the faithfulness of the people that Dave's mentioned who've been continuing the work already. And I just feel that it's bigger than me, and it's exciting. So, I'd really encourage everyone to pray and just keep blessing what God's already doing. And if you want to be involved, speak to me. Yeah.
And you know, that's part of what we want to just share today, is that, you know, we're commissioning Nathan, but Nathan is specifically not the youth worker, not the youth leader. He's the youth ministry leader, which means actually his job is to actually get all of us involved in youth ministry and to grow a team to do it with it. And so we, just because he's here, it doesn't mean now we may say, right, Nathan is doing it all. He is leading and facilitating a team, those particularly with a heart and a calling to be involved in this work, to just get together and to lead in this next season. So how might people get involved, Nathan?
Well, I think I alluded to the main thing I'm thinking about at the moment already, which is prayer. So I'd love people to pray generally. I'm hoping to get some details out so we can pray specifically for our young people and the work that happens with them that they're involved in. But I'm also, what I'd love, I'm not going to ask anyone to volunteer, at least for a little bit, but I'd love you to pray that the Holy Spirit will really put on people's hearts, and not necessarily your own, just a love for the young people we've already got here at St. Andrews. And what I would expect based on the kind of thing he's done to me before, when I was an engineer, is that there'll be some of you who the Holy Spirit will talk to and say, I just want you to love these people, even though they're young people.
So especially because they're young people.
So if that happens to you, come find me. My email's in the mail out and all the rest of it. And I just want people who are passionate to journey alongside. So you don't need to feel like you need to be good with a certain age group, or you don't need a theology degree. All I'm looking for is people whose hearts say, I can't just sit and pray, I need to act on this. So, yeah, that's what I'm keen for at the moment.
And that can involve a particular ministry called the Ministry of Cake Making, which many people, which is very much appreciated by Chaos. There's a band of people here who make cakes every so often, and there's a cake every week. and I go down and enjoy sampling it with the youth. That's my particular calling. But, you know, the ministry of cake making is a really important work. The ministry of food providing is a really important work. So, you know, that's part of it too. And we'll work on that. And the great thing is, you know, Nathan's coming in at the start of this term, you know, and I've said to Nathan, you know, this term is about getting to know people, about getting to know the youth. And actually, we're not going to start massive things this term. You know, we've got September is when actually we might be, things might be looking to be started and changed. And actually, this is just a season of getting to know people, building relationships and listening to God and seeing what God's going to do. I want to just read one verse, which is the verse which hopefully Nathan is going to be carving on a bit of wood that actually is going to go on Megan's kitchen up at All Saints when that is finished in a week or so's time. And it's that verse we looked at in All Age Service a few weeks ago. Psalm 78, verse 4. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. And that is so much our heart as a church. And we pray that, that Nathan would be such a key part of that. So we're going to pray for Nathan now. I know there are some people who have invited to come and say specific bits, but I would like to invite anybody who would like to come up and just stand with Nathan here. And April, why don't you and Rue come up as well, because you're such a big part of that. And particularly those who have been involved in youth ministry, who are still involved in youth ministry, some ex-youth we've got here as well. Do come up and stand by Nathan and surround him with your love.
I did manage to get sunburn on my neck yesterday, so I'm very proud of. So if you're going to lay hands on, don't.
I'm doing the first step, and then I'll give this mic, and then I'll hand over to you. So we start by just recognising that this is the work of the whole church. So the work of the church with children and youth is the responsibility of all of us as members of God's family. Will we as the people of God support the work with children and youth with interest, prayer, finance, facilities and cake making? With the help of God, we will. So my first question to Nathan. Nathan, will you, Nathan, as our new youth ministry leader, be committed to growing as a disciple of Jesus, being faithful in prayer, worship, and Bible reading, and open to the Holy Spirit's leading?
With the help of God, I will.
Isla.
Will you, Nathan, love and nurture, support and encourage us and our families to grow in faith and follow Jesus for ourselves?
With the help of God, I will.
All the youth leaders, together.
Will you, Nathan, encourage, equip and envision all of us who work with youth across our churches and in our communities? Will you help us together
to discern
and implement God's vision to see young lives and communities transformed
by God?
With the help of God, I will.
And so, Nathan, that seems a heavy burden, but actually we remind you that actually you don't have to do it yourself. You have these people, but more than anything, you have the Holy Spirit on you. On Friday prayers, he was wearing a Superman jumper, and we decided that S was the Spirit inside him, and we prayed that the power of the Spirit greater than the power of Superman to empower you. So I just now pray. Actually, let's all say this together. Nathan, we commission you to this work and pledge to you our prayers, encouragement, and support. May the Holy Spirit guide, strengthen, and empower you to fulfill all that he has called you to do here across the Chase Sea. Amen. And I want to pray a special blessing for April and Rue too, and for your whole family, that actually your whole family would flourish through this ministry, that God would protect and keep you and provide for you, and that you as a family would know what it means to be partnering with God in this ministry. So bless you all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Let's welcome him with a big round of applause. Can I invite you to pray? I didn't warn him about this. Pray for our children. He's used to me putting him on the spot. To pray for our children and young people as they leave to their groups now.
Father God, thank you so much for the all aid access that you give us as your people. Thank you for our children and for our young people and how they can engage with you just as much as we can. And as they go out now, thank you for their leaders and helpers who will help them to do that. Please bless their time together with you. Amen.
Amen. Children and Pathfinders, have great fun and connect with God.
So as we have the general kind of hubbub and chaos of the kids going out, why don't you turn to someone nearby and say hello? Maybe even ask them how they've experienced God's generosity in this last week. Okay, now stop. No, actually. Yes, where's that? So, do the teacher thing. We're going to move to a time of intercession now, and Val's going to lead us in that.
Lord, as we focus today on the theme of generosity, we start by thanking you for your abundant generosity to us that is so amazing. That you were prepared to give your only son to die on a cross for us. We thank you also for your blessing on us as a church, and particularly for the recent coming together of the Chase team. We pray for the advert that has gone out for another clergy post, that by your Spirit you will move the right person to see the advert and apply for the post. We thank you for all those who give generously to the church, those who give of their time, their giftings, and their money. And we ask that as they give, you will bless them abundantly. We pray that you will give each one of us even bigger hearts to serve you, and that you will bring more people to the church who complement our existing ministries and extend the service we can give to the community. And Lord, we pray particularly for those who serve in our communities. We remember the work of the Octagon and pray for the upcoming community consultation, that it will inform the direction of the work there to reach out into that community. We lift to you the work of CAP and pray particularly for Denise and Kat and for healing for Denise's broken wrist. We pray for those in the community who are struggling with debt, that you will prompt them and give them the courage to take that step of faith to make the phone call to CAP that could set them on the path to becoming debt-free. We pray for our nation and particularly for our government. We ask that as we move towards a general election, you will raise up people to stand as MPs who have a genuine desire to serve you and their country, putting the needs of the people before political dogma and personal gain. And we pray for the royal family, and particularly for Charles and Kate as they go through cancer treatment. We ask for complete healing for them both. And we continue to lift to you the international situation, and particularly the wars in Ukraine and Gaza. We pray that you will have mercy on the innocent civilians caught up in the conflicts, and that more aid will reach those who need it most, and without more loss of life to aid workers. We pray for all those involved in brokering peace agreements, that you will give them wisdom and guidance as they try to bring the two sides together. And we ask for workable and realistic resolutions to the conflict. And we just lift to you the situation with Iran and Israel that's evolved in the last 24 hours. Lord, we just pray, have mercy on everybody. Lord, have mercy on the people of that region. We just pray that you will bring a resolution to that conflict that will not result in world war. And now we come together to say the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So having kind of focused our prayers outwards, we're going to focus inwards a little bit now and just come to a confession. Just want to spend a few moments then in quiet, just asking God to put on your hearts anything you might need to bring to him, anything you might need to confess and repent of this morning. And then we'll move into the confession. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Together we say, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have done. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. So grant, we ask you, merciful Lord, pardon and peace to your faithful people, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. So in that knowledge of God's generosity and forgiveness, let's stand, if you're able to, and worship him.
Jesus in the darkness of every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Incense arise, day and night. all we need. All that we need.
And Father, as we come to hear your word, to just explore this area of generosity, we do so in the knowledge that you are so generous to us and you provide us with all that we need. So Lord, would you open our hearts and our minds to hear from you now. Amen. So do take a seat. Joan.
And the reading this morning is Paul's letter, to the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. And if you're looking at it with the church Bibles, it's page 1163. And it's all about generosity, as you've heard that word mentioned so many times already. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in his name. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray, shall we? And Lord, my prayer this morning is that your grace will be so powerfully at work in us that we will leave here with transformed hearts. Hearts which resonate more with your hearts for our world. Amen. So today is we're starting a new sermon series, which we're then going to pick up again at the beginning of May. And this is also, as well as the first one in the new sermon series, it's the next one in the 2 Corinthians, the old sermon series. It just seemed to, the next passage was so perfect for what we're moving on to, that this is sort of partly in the last series and partly in the next series, as we go. And our sermon series is Living Our Values, Growing Our Culture. And I want to just share with you that over the last year, since about last March, the PCCs and other leaders have been looking at what are our values as a church and as a team of churches to be in this next season. Can we identify what our values are? And, you know, that word values can, you know, we've had different debates as to what are values and what aren't values, and I don't want to get bogged down in that. It's sort of decided now. But the key thing is, what are we going to do with it? But what do we mean by values? Well, here's some suggestions of, as I looked on the internet the last few days, as to what we mean by values. Who we want to be. Describes who we want to be. Not necessarily who we are. I think we're a long way to these, but who we really want to be. Tim Alford, who came and helped the PCC do some work, he described it as this. He says, the values are how we will do what we do. So it's the how of what we will do. And I think for me, you know, it's been really helpful in thinking about our values shape how we make decisions, how we make decisions in the church. Where do we look for our foundation? What are the principles that help us make the decisions that we need to in this church? And what we've come up with is this, which is sort of just about adopted across our three churches. You know, St. Mary's have had some input as well and helped shape some of the wording to, it's still a little bit of work in progress, but it's enough to present now. And what I'm just describing it as, that the three bottom ones there, I'm calling our foundational values. Anchored in scripture, you know, this book is where we get our reference point, our key reference point of the truth and how God's calling us to behave and to be, and the principles there, anchored in scripture. Secondly, rooted in prayer. You know, everything we do, we want to acknowledge that this isn't just our own good ideas that we're putting forward, but we're just anchoring everything in prayer, knowing that and recognizing that actually without God we can do nothing. And it's been so lovely to see how our culture of prayer with prayer ministry and with the different prayer meetings of the Lent course, you know, how prayer is really ramping up into such a key foundation in our church. I'm really excited about all that's coming out of our prayer meetings. And then led by the Spirit, you know, actually, again, we know that thing about we want the Spirit to direct where we go. You know, we're in a place where I don't know where we're going to be in 6 months' time, let alone next week. And we're learning to be led by the Spirit. You know, we're not going to be a church which has 5-year, 10-year plans and we stick rigorously to them. You know, we're going to be a church which is saying actually each step of the way we want to be led by what God's doing and what the Spirit's saying. So there are foundational values. Then what I will describe as our central value, there, pursuing Christ-likeness. That in all we do, we're seeking to live as Jesus would if he were us. And we'll talk about more what that means when we come on to that one. And then the top three are what I call our outward values. You know, these things which I think we recognize are key characteristics of who we are and who we want to be. Firstly, welcoming arms. You know, the question of how can we welcome people as Jesus would and invite everyone into a transforming encounter with him. Secondly, generous heart, which we're going to look at today, and then a missional mindset that actually we're not just doing this for our own sake, but we want to get out there to be God's missionaries in the places he sent us, whatever that means. So today and then during May and the beginning of June, we're going to take one of these values a week and unpack what it means for us individually and corporately. I hope life groups are going to look at these. I think it's really important that life groups do just try and work their way through this and discuss what that means for life groups to live them out as well and live them out in every area of our church. And I think this is really key for us, and I'm really excited about what this is, what God's going to do as we dwell in these. So we're going to start out of order, really. I would have normally started with the foundational ones, but because this was the next passage in 2 Corinthians, it was too good an opportunity to miss. to just actually start with a generous heart. And particularly it ties well in well, I think, with our APCMs, which are coming up on the 28th of April, which is going to be in the evening here. Do come along to that, where we can celebrate just what's been going on and think about other ways we can be generous. So my question today is what does it mean for us to be a church with a generous heart? And I want to start by saying, in so many ways, I think we are that already. We are a generous team of churches. There is so much to celebrate, as I described. Just look at the annual review, which is just about ready to go to print. Hear it at our APCM. Hear the state of our financial giving. I want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity of heart in so many ways. And as we'll hear, this isn't just about giving. And I want you to be assured that you're not going to be put on a guilt trip about how much you're giving today. It is not a giving sermon. It's a generosity sermon. So relax. So I want to start by saying thank you and acknowledging the generosity, amazing generosity of our congregations here. But we're going to look at this passage today and see, you know, what can we draw out of it? What can we learn? Where might God be challenging us still? And 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 speak so much about generosity and giving. You know, 2 out of the 13 chapters in the book of 2 Corinthians are about generosity and giving, because Paul knew that that was important. And Paul's urging the Corinthian church to have generosity as a key value of theirs. Because generosity, he knows, we know, is a key mark of discipleship. So if you've got your Bibles, do grab your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we start at verse 1. And what we start with here is that Paul outlines the generosity of the Macedonian church. Now, the Macedonian church included the churches of Philippi, to which the letter to the Philippians was written, and Thessalonica, to which the letters to the Thessalonians were written. So just to give you a bit of context. And let's see what he says about the Macedonian churches. He says this, he says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. You know, in contrast to the wealthy Corinthian church, the Macedonian churches were actually really quite poor. Probably because the Christians in those places had been socially ostracized and discriminated against because of their newfound Christian faith. And these were churches that were struggling to make ends meet. And yet, out of their poverty and their suffering, they displayed an amazing generosity to other struggling Christians in the Jerusalem church who were suffering so badly also at that time. And it says here, they've not just given as much as they were able, but in some cases they'd given beyond their ability. They had stretched themselves to the absolute limits in sacrificial giving. Don't know about you, but you know, that's often what I've experienced. Those of us who've been to developing countries, you know, will know the generosity of those people who have so often so little in our eyes. I can remember going and sitting in households, in villages in Africa, where, you know, they wouldn't be eating, but they would have saved up and killed the goat, and they fed us with the goat that they would never eat. That was the generosity that they showed in their struggles to an outsider, to me, who was nobody. So often it's those who have so little that teach us so much about generosity. And Paul here uses the example of the Macedonian churches to spur the wealthier Corinthian church on to, as he goes on to describe, excel in this grace of giving and complete the gift that they promised to the Jerusalem church, but not yet delivered on. And I want to just draw out three principles from these verses. We could talk so much more about it, and, you know, go on and read chapter 9 as well, because that gives some really important principles about giving too and generosity too. But I want to pick out three particular principles today. And the firstly is the privilege of partnership. Look at verse 4, it says, they, the Macedonian churches, urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. You know, you've got this picture of the Macedonian churches saying, please Paul, can we give to help the Jerusalem church? They were pleading with him to be able to have the privilege of being part of that. This wasn't reluctant giving at all. And why? Because they knew that they had a commitment, a family connection with the struggling Jerusalem church. You know, as Christians across the world, we are one body. That illustration of that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of a body, you know, I was reflecting on this, and so often, you know, I've thought about it as just our church. You think, well, Zark is the left hand playing the keyboard, and Val is the right foot who's going to do all the running around, doing all the extra jobs, and, you know, all the other, I won't name the rest of you. But so often we can think of that, isn't it? Just that picture of the body is just our church. But it made me think that actually that picture of the body is about the church worldwide as well, isn't it? And so often we forget that and just focus on us. And read that. Go and read 1 Corinthians 12 again in the light of that. You know, those amazing verses in there. Here's a bit of it. You know, there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Do we feel we're suffering with the Middle Eastern church at the moment? Do we feel we're suffering with the Ukrainian church at the moment? You see, what Paul's saying here is what happens to other Christians and other churches matters to us because we're part of the same body. And as the body of Christ locally and globally, we have the privilege and joy of serving and supporting each other. We're not just here to live for ourselves, to build the empire of St. Andrews. That's absolutely not what we're here for. We're here to build the kingdom alongside God's people in the whole world. And it's been really exciting to join together as a Chase team over these last few months. This is the slide I actually used on the 1st of February at our PCC meeting, joint PCC, where the three PCCs came together and used this analogy of us being a body together. And it's been lovely to see such joy from people from all three churches as we have just joined together again and are learning what it means to be team again. You know, we've been given the privilege of a special partnership in the gospel between our three churches. We've been given a special connection, a special calling to support and encourage and bless each other. And it's so exciting to see what God's been doing and what God will do with that. Some examples, you know, Helen Attree has been involved with Pickersley Bears, the toddler group at St. Mary's the last few weeks, particularly while All Saints Toddlers has been closed because of the building. You know, she's also been involved with Holiday Club there, and they've asked her to, you know, have that oversight of children and families work there now. So, you know, Helen is very much involved there, along with Lauren Carmichael, along with some others. On Friday, the Alive course starts at St. Mary's, and that's really exciting to doing it there. Several of folk who have done Alpha here are going to go and join the course over there. And we've got a new couple called Richard and Ruth who've joined All Saints recently who are going to be running the soup lunches. So it's a lovely picture of all three churches involved, working together, partnering together in that. And of course, the advert for the new vicar and the Chase team, we hope and pray that's going to give more scope. You know, it's exciting to see how this partnership in the gospel would develop. But it reminds us that actually this partnership isn't just between our three churches in the local too. It's actually a worldwide partnership. Right at the moment, the Fletchers are in town. Fletchers up in top left-hand corner. They've been speaking at All Saints this morning. They're coming to speak here next Sunday. We are partners with them in the work in the slums in Thailand. Bottom right-hand corner, we've got Masalata Theological College in Tanzania, where we're hearing about. You know, we are partnering with them in providing money to train pastors up to be working in Tanzania there. Open Doors, the persecuted church. We are partnering with those churches which are struggling perhaps the most, and yet we're seeing so much fruit. And then more locally, we've got Icing Pot. Give us a cheer. We're partnering with that amazing work going into schools all over the country. You know, this is the privilege of partnership that God's given us. And I want to say that it's not a one-way interaction. It's not just that we actually give money and we're blessing them, but these partnerships change us. I know that actually when the Fletchers visit next week, we will go away changed because we've heard stories of what's going on amongst some of the most poorest people in the world. These partnerships give us a bigger perspective on God and his world. They help us learn together and become more like Christ as we see Christ in others who are different to ourselves. That's the joy and the privilege of partnership. Secondly, you know, when we show generosity, we are reflecting God, something of God's generous heart to the world. Now, throughout the Bible, the story is that God is a generous God. The most famous Bible verse in all the world. Well, how does it start? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave. You know, it starts by God giving to a world which didn't deserve it. And this verse that we see in verse 9, right at the heart of it, Paul points the Corinthians back to Jesus' example and says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich there in heaven, just taking all the glory of heaven, yet for our sakes he became poor. He became a servant. He became one of us. He became a nobody. He became insulted, rejected, beaten, pierced, killed, so that we, by his poverty, could become rich, rich in relationship with God again." That's the story we've been remembering this Easter time. You know, God gives these things to us even though we don't deserve it, even though we can't earn it. That's what grace means, the undeserved generosity of God. That's where it all stems from. And so what can our response be to the God who gave it all for us? Well, actually, we're invited to respond to God's generous hearts by having generous hearts ourselves. And when we do this, we model to the world something of the generosity of God. And by doing so, we bring him glory, and it's an act of worship. Our generous hearts reflect the generous hearts of God. And also I want to just say, moving on to the verses 13 and 14, you know, we're called this phrase we've used a lot here, to be blessed, to be a blessing. Let's just read the verse 14 there. At the present time, I'll read a bit more. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. You know, what we've got here is a desire that we're to be generous so that actually needs can be met, so that no one need to go without what they need. That there's equality, not so actually we give so much that we've got nothing left, but that we give so much that actually there are no needs left. Paul was urging the wealthy Corinthian church that their plenty could make all the difference to the struggling Christians in Jerusalem. And so he was urging them to meet this need from their plenty, from their excess. He was saying to them, "You at this time have been blessed with plenty. So I'm inviting you to be a blessing with that to others." You know, we, like the Corinthian church, are privileged in so many ways to be a wealthy church in the eyes of many around us and the eyes of the world, certainly. And not just in financial terms, but in our resources, in our buildings, in our people, you guys with your skills and talents, in our paid staff team and our volunteers. You know, I know many, many, many churches around this local area who would love to have what we have. And that's a huge responsibility for us to steward it well. We have so much to be thankful for, not because we deserve it or because we're any better than anyone else or because we've earned it, but because of God's grace. So the question is, how will we use it? How will we use the gifts that God's given us? How will our plenty bless others beyond our walls? We'll come back to that in a minute. But before we do, I just want to go to another passage, and I want to dwell in the example of the early church. The days and weeks after Jesus' ascension and the coming of the Spirit of Pentecost, that early church was radical. Because the early church got this. They really modeled amazing generosity, didn't they? They lived as a radically generous community. Let's read some of that. Go and read it all, Acts 4, 32 to 37, but a couple of bits there. All, and God's grace. Oh no, I'll go from verse 2. I'm reading a bit more. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, and there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. What an example. What a witness that must have been to the people around them, looking and seeing God's people live in that radically generous way. And why were they able to live in such a way? Well, I think it goes back to what they'd just seen. They'd just seen the death and resurrection of Jesus. They'd seen Jesus giving everything for them. And then they'd had the Holy Spirit come and transform their hearts. You know, we preached on that back in 2019. Those of you who were here then, and many of you weren't. And after that, we felt led to set up what we now call the Blessings Fund, which is an amazing fund which is there to help anyone in need within our church or outside our church. Over the last 4 years, and you know, God led us to set it up just before COVID. Was that a coincidence? No, it wasn't. But over the last few years, we've given away thousands of pounds to people in need, and it's blessed so many. And it's such a joy to be able to live this Acts 4 stuff out. And if you want to know a bit more about how you can give to the Blessings Fund, then see Andy on the video machine later, our treasurer, and he would love to tell you how you can give into the Blessings Fund particularly. And if you've got a particular need, talk to Andy or myself too. You know, that is living this stuff out from people's plenty meeting the needs of others who haven't got it. And it's been great to see this in other places too. You know, our men's life group has had two particular financial needs in the last couple of months. And I've had the privilege of just putting an anonymous WhatsApp message out on our life group and said, actually, there's someone in our group who needs some help financially at the moment. And, you know, just about £1,000 came in very, very quickly. And we were able to bless others in our group. And many of the people still don't know who those people are. That's the joy of partnership, of partnering in the gospel, the privilege of being in community with each other. I was able to tell that story to Malvern Weld School when they asked me to go and do a lesson on how does Jesus want us to live. Helen and I went and did that, and I told some of that story, and that story made a difference in the young lives that heard it and in the staff and the teaching staff. You know, the generosity of who gave in that place actually brought God glory and was a witness to how we are transformed to live as Jesus' people. You know, I really feel strongly that our calling here is to be a radically generous community. That's who God's calling us as a team to be. So how can we do that as I finish? How can we do that as a church and as individuals? How can we be blessed to be a blessing? And, you know, the response will be different for different ones of us. How can we reflect God's generous hearts? What's our part in that? Well, here are a few suggestions. Firstly, the obvious one, through our finances. And some here will have more and some people will have less. And actually what God invites us to do is very different for according to which situation you're in. But the calling for each of us is to say, how are we using our money to be shy, having a generous heart for God? It's a good time to prayerfully review your giving, how much you're giving, where you're giving it to. What's God saying? Open your hearts to him to just show you what he wants you to do with that. And for us, the church, you know, I sense, as I've preached this, prepared this, I sense God is challenging us to give more money away. I really do. You know, I think we give our 10% to our mission partners, but I want to say, is this enough? Is this really enough? We are a church worldwide which has plenty. Are we being particularly called to give more to others outside of our church, our own church mission? You know, there's a question for the PCC to pick up. And we can give that in many ways, you know, many ways, just, you know, St. Andrew's funding some of these staffing roles across the team. That is enabling us to give to St. Mary's, who can't afford extra staff at the moment. That's how we, partly how we can do that. But is God asking us to give even more away? Through our finances, then through our resources, you know, as individuals, you know, you have homes. You have other possessions. How's God inviting us to be generous with our resources, with what God's given us? And I know, look around, many people here use their homes, use other resources, you know, other possessions to bless others with. And I'm so grateful where I've benefited from that. You know, our buildings here, our church center here, you know, we seek to give it away as much as we can to other groups to use, particularly some of our, you know, addicts groups that we have here, where we try and give it away free to other churches too, for other churches to use. How can we use our resources for God's? Through our time, you know, some here, I look around, have lots of time. Others have very little time. But those of you who do have lots of time, you know, time is something you can be really generous with. Where could you offer more time for God and for others? To serve in our other churches, in our team maybe, other organizations, community projects, visiting people. As a church, we want to give away some of Nathan and Helen's time, particularly in the future, to bless and support and resource other churches where we can. That's our heart, to give our time away. What about our gifts and our skills? You know, can we be generous with our gifts and our talents? What's God given us? What's he put in our hands that we might use to bless others? You know, some of the particular needs we need at the moment is more people on the tech team, people to help with buildings and property management here and at St. Mary's, admin support in time, youth ministry. There's some of the needs, particularly at the moment, but where's God inviting you to be generous with your gifts and talents? And then just generally through our actions, you know, our everyday actions to bless others, to develop a culture of blessing, a culture of hospitality, invite round someone that you wouldn't normally invite round. Go and bake them a cake. I love the people who have a ministry of cake baking for the rector in particular. Karen Nichols, I just love when she drops off Barra Birth around my house. They're just great. But that blesses me, it encourages me, it blesses others. Let's pray and be open to the Spirit about how we can show our generosity through our general day-to-day action. And finally, as I come into land, there was one phrase which really struck me in that Acts 4 passage, and it was this, that God's grace was so powerfully at work amongst them all that there were no needy persons. God's grace was powerfully at work. It was a work of God that they were such a radical, generous community. It was a deep work of the Spirit, a deep work of grace in their hearts. Because if we're honest, generosity isn't something that comes naturally to us. We naturally want to protect ourselves and make ourselves comfortable first, and then we might give away what is left over once we've sorted ourselves out. But God's heart is a heart which gives first. It talked in that passage about giving to the Lord first. If God's heart is a heart which loves deeply and gives out of that reckless love. So as we finish, I want to just invite us to all, say, how are our hearts today? What does it look like for us to open our hearts to the generosity of God afresh? Now, I want to invite us to pray that God's grace would be so powerfully at work in us too, softening our hearts, transforming our hearts, giving us his generous hearts, that we become even more of a radically generous community than we are at the moment. Why? to bring glory to God and so that the world can see God through our generosity. Let us too hear those words of St. Paul to the church in Corinth. See too that you also excel in this grace of giving. Can I just invite you to stand if you're able, and let's just come before God now. One of the things I've learned from Ignatian spirituality over the years is to learn, they talk about praying for a grace, praying for a gift from God. And the grace I want to pray for us as a church and as individuals this morning is the grace of a generous heart. And we can't do that ourselves, but God, you can so transform and melt our hearts and shape our hearts. That's what Nathan was talking about earlier. And we come to you now and we say, will we so understand your generous heart and what you've given us that actually our hearts will be transformed to long to have a heart like yours, that we'll be pleading with you for the privilege of joining in your mission to bless the world and to partner with others. So Lord, I pray right now on us for a generous heart, for the grace of a generous heart as individuals and as churches. And maybe just for, as we pause, maybe one of those things up on the screen is the one area which God wants to point you to this morning. Where's God particularly saying he wants to increase your generosity in your finances, in your resources, in your time, your gifts, your skills, your actions? Just let God lay that on your heart right now.
A message which kind of almost demands a response, and there will be opportunities to do that later. It's not necessarily the kind of thing you might want to come for prayer for, but maybe you do. Maybe you want to just acknowledge with somebody what God's laying on your heart of those five things. Talk to somebody, talk to Andy, talk to Dave. Just talk to the person you're sitting next to, just to acknowledge that what God is saying to you. We're going to sing one final song now before we close the service. But while that's happening, still just ask God to lay on your heart what it is that he's asking of you. And we'll pick that up again at the end.
Time to sing your song again.
So we've heard how God's generosity inspires our generosity, and just that idea of God has been laying something on your heart, something that you feel that you can be more generous in, then don't go away without kind of acknowledging that with somebody. Hold on to that and come and talk to somebody. If you would like prayer for that or for anything else, there will be prayer ministers here at the front at the end, so do come forward and speak to them, and they'll be happy to pray with you. There'll be tea and coffee and maybe some cake that the generous cake makers have made in the hall afterwards. If you don't know where that is, go out the door, turn left and follow your nose and smell the cake. Dave mentioned Ignatian theology or Ignatian practices. We're actually going to close with a prayer of St. Ignatius. We didn't even talk about that, did we? Look at that. So let's close the service with this prayer. Lord Jesus, teach us to be generous. Teach us to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to seek reward, except that of knowing that we do your will. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. And have a fantastic week as you go out and bless others with your generosity.